Welcome back, everyone, to The Zamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I'm excited for returning guest and brand new cloud developer advocate, Laurent. How's it going?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Yeah. How was the trip over back in beautiful Seattle?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. I was upgraded, actually, to business class, which never happens, so yeah.
I was, after flying hundreds of times, I took my first business class flight.
Really?
And it was luxurious.
It's a whole different experience, yeah.
It's something that I did once and will probably never happen again.
Exactly.
But it was one of those rare instances. That's awesome. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, last time you came on, we were talking about MVVM Lite.
We did.
Some beautiful MVVM goodness. And now we want to talk about something a little bit different.
Yeah.
I'm excited because we've talked a little bit about functions, Azure Functions, serverless compute, but you're like, James, I did this awesome app. I'm really getting excited about it. So you're going to be talking about functions, but maybe tell everyone a little bit about yourself in case they don't know who this man is.
Sure, yeah. So my name is Laurent Bugnon. I was an MVP for many, many years. I was Xamarin MVP as well, regional director. And in August 2017, I joined Microsoft. And they made me an offer I couldn't refuse, literally. And I'm a cloud developer advocate. So this is a team who is going out and evangelizing Azure, but we don't like to use evangelizing anymore. So we are advocating Azure, I guess. And so it's pretty much like being an MVP, except now I'm paid for it. So it's a good change. I'm really happy and we have an awesome team.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're a great fit because not only have you been awesome in only the Microsoft community for so long. I mean, I followed you a long time for MVVM Lite when I was building Windows Phone apps back in the day and still love it to this day. So it's good to have you on the team over here.
Cool, thanks.
So what exactly are we going to be talking about? What do you want to show off with Azure Functions?
Yeah, so what I would like to show is how you can use Azure Functions to build a very, very simple API that you can use for Xamarin applications. And of course, you can use Azure Functions for anything, right? It doesn't have to be Xamarin application. But what I like in Azure Functions is that they are very easy to deploy, they are very easy to build, and you can even test them, the whole shebang in Visual Studio. So that's great. And since they are so easy to deploy, they are very easy to access with an HTTP client from Xamarin application. And so they are very well suited for mobile applications, really. The communication is based on text, so you can send some JSON over, you just serialize, deserialize. And the cool thing with functions is that you can build them directly in the Azure portal if you want. You can build them with Visual Studio for Mac if you want. Here I'm going to show Visual Studio for Windows because it's rather what I prefer. But the tooling is extensive and you can choose any tool you prefer.
So maybe before we get into it, maybe you can describe what exactly is an Azure function.
I think a lot
of people are like, serverless and like these micro tiny services and all this stuff. So what to you is an Azure function and why would I want to use it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And really the moniker serverless is a little bit, it's like marketing, right? I used to joke about that and say the big secret in the industry is that there is actually a server.
There is a server,
absolutely. The only cool thing about serverless stuff is that you don't need to worry about the server yourself. So you're going to deploy that. You're just going to know which region it works in because you have to kind of select that from the start, like West Europe or, Northern US or whatever. However, after that, your functions are going to be small units of computation. So typically, it's a class with one method, which is public, which is a run method. And then after that, if you want multiple functions to communicate together, you can do that. There is a whole infrastructure going on. But the thing is that you think of the function as a small unit of computation. So in terms of architecting your services, it's actually a good practice because you don't build a huge web service, web API application with a lot of dependencies, a lot of class libraries and everything. You do that as small as possible. Now, obviously, if you want to add class libraries, you can. If you want to use NuGet, you can. If you want to use .NET Core, you can. Those functions can run on Linux as well. So you can choose actually if you want a .NET server or a Linux server. Yeah. But again, right, it's really more about, hey, let's forget a little bit about the infrastructure and let's really write some code, deploy that as fast as possible, and then just communicate over REST, typically HTTP. Yeah.
So I'm used to essentially creating in like ASP.NET Core website or web API.
Yep.
I got to scaffold my entire RESTful API.
Correct.
And then access my database. I have to write those queries into the database. And then I have to deploy that up into Azure on a server that is essentially running, it's scaled, right, ups and down. but it's on 24/7.
Yeah.
That's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So then what's the the difference between what I just described, maybe what a lot of developers are used to, and the flow of getting a function up and running?
Yeah. So the function, what I will show in the first demo is that you can actually publish a function directly from the portal. So basically, you're going to just create your function application, then you write the code directly in the web browser, and then it's pretty much already deployed. So you don't even need to publish it, right?
It's there.
It's already there. As soon as you save, it's done. The other flow, which is a little bit more production ready, would be to write in Visual Studio. So you create a function application in Visual Studio, which actually under the cover is an app service. So it's a little bit like a web service. But again, I think the main difference is that you don't have to worry about the infrastructure. The Azure function is going to do that for you. So you're going to create your function, you're going to write it, you can unit test, you can debug, you deploy to Azure, and then it's running. Now, the function is not going to run 24/7, so it's really probably the main difference. And in terms of cost, in terms of financing, it's really good because you're going to be billed only when the function is called.
Got it. So my normal server, I'm paying for it, 31 days out of the month, 30 days a month, 24/7,
because
I don't know when someone's going to call it.
Yeah.
So if I call this function, Is it on? Is it not on? Do I get called charged per call to it?
Or how does that work? So there are two ways. You can actually select that when you create the function, or you can configure it. One way is called the consumption way, which means that the function is literally going to be billed only when it runs. And so that's going to be a very small amount of money every time that somebody calls it. And so that's a great way to get started, because in the beginning, let's say you're a startup, you don't know how many users you're going to have. Maybe sometimes you won't have any users.
Yeah.
And so during that time, you're not going to be billed. Only disadvantage of that is that there is a small cold start. So basically, if the function is sleeping at that moment, if nobody has called it for a while, then the first call is going to be a little bit slower.
Okay.
And that's the small thing. Now, you can switch also to what they call an app service plan, which means that basically you can say, hey, I already have a website, so I already have an app service plan configured where I'm going to be billed so much per month, and then you can add your function application to that.
Oh, cool.
And this is actually making it a little bit easier to budget how much you're going to pay. So usually what I tell people is if you're a startup, start with a consumption plan. And when you see that, oh my God, I have more users coming, right?
Yeah.
Then I want to know exactly how much I'm going to pay every month. Then you switch to an app service plan, and then it's better. Yeah,
I like that. I think the first time I ever wrote an Azure function, I saw it runs so fast. I mean, it's hundredths of a millisecond, right?
Yeah.
So I was watching Scott Guthrie. He did a cost analysis on stage. He's like, I just called this, and it hit a Cosmos DB database.
Oh yeah.
Processed a bunch of stuff, inserted something into blob storage. He's like, I paid 0.00000010th of a penny, right, or something like that, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah,
and that's great for a startup because you don't have to worry about servers,
exactly,
about this cost, all this stuff.
Yeah, and it's going to scale. It's going to you can deploy
power
multiple regions, so you have all the power of the cloud. Yeah,
well, let's see it. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, absolutely. So here I have a really, really super simple function, and I think it's more really for demos than anything else. But the process is that I went ahead, so I did create a resource. I selected an Azure function, and it kind of puts me into the web browser here with some code already. And this code is written. And so basically the process that you get a request. And so this is the HTTP request message. This is where you get all the information about the caller, things that can be interesting, like what browser are they using, if they are using a browser, these kind of things. And then after that, you can get a number of operands. So in that case, I have two operands, num1, num2. And the way that you configure that, if you go to your function and going to integrate here, you can actually select the route that you're going to use here. So maybe one thing we need to specify when we talk about function is that you have different triggers that can run the function. So here I'm using an HTTP trigger, and we see that here in the in this portal. An HTTP trigger means that the function is going to be executed every time there is an HTTP request. And those HTTP requests can be a GET, it can be a POST, it can be a DELETE, it can be... So basically you have the whole range of REST APIs. Now, of course, you do have other triggers that you can use. And one very useful trigger is, for example, a timer trigger, where you're going to say my function is going to run once every hour or once every day or do things. It can maybe store some values. I'll show a demo in a moment. So here I have an HTTP trigger, and I have the root here. And as you see, it's a little bit small, but If I try to zoom in, let's see here, I have the root. So we have slash add, which is the name of my API, okay? And then I have num1, and then I have this placeholder, which is going to be replaced by the caller. And so this will be basically where the first operand is. And then you have slash num2, and then the second operand. And here I say I will call this function only with get. Okay.
Okay, got it. So, you could then specify, like, hey, all these different functions, I have one for get or put, or this
exactly.
one can do either.
Yeah.
Now, you said it's a trigger. So can I trigger off of, I mean, a timer seems cool because I could clean up a
timer
database.
Is good. Yep.
Can I do other things like
yes? So you can.
Or,
yeah. So you can do, for example, a blob trigger. So blob trigger is, in my opinion, very useful if you let's say you build a website showing pictures, for example. Every time you upload a picture, a blob is basically just a file, right?
Yeah.
If you want, like it's just a binary of some kind. And so when you upload it, then the blob triggers. There is a route that you specify. You say, okay, now I want to watch this blob container. Every time something is uploaded, the function is going to run, and that can be a good way, for example, to extract some geo-based information from the picture extract the exif tags, these kind of things. You have also things like webhooks, so basically you can hook to different websites. There is one which can be very useful, it's a GitHub webhook, so every time you publish some code, every time you commit some code to a branch, then you can get some continuous integration starting. There are other things like also queue triggers, so you can have an Azure service queuing a message, and then every time there is a message added to the queue, then the function is going to run. There is really a whole range of things. Another thing we can precise here is that here we have C#, but we actually support a lot of languages. JavaScript is an obvious one, but we also support things like F# or other, there are even some with Python. So if you want to do some data analysis, for example, it can be more suited. So here I have, in that case, C#, and because I specified num1 and num2 in the URL, in the root, like we saw before, those are going to be mapped automatically in my function.
Okay.
And here what I'm doing, I'm just going to add them, so it's very, very easy. I'm
very
going to return.
Mathematics.
Exactly.
We really need Azure for
this is super easy, but it's just to show the principle, really. And here I'm going to return the response with the addition. And so what you're going to do, now this is already in the cloud, right? So that's cool, right? I already went and I said, okay, I'm going to calculate things. And now I can go and get the function URL here.
And it actually has your route on
And it has the route automatically. So you have the num1 here, you have the num2 here. So now I copy that, I go into another portal, into another tab here, and if I can just go and replay, so let's say 1, 2, and then the second one, I'm going to say 3, 4. And now this URL is pretty ugly because there is a code, but of course you can minify it to make it beautiful. And now I'm going to execute that, and after a short wait, we should see that something didn't work. No, it did actually work, but for some reason, because I'm in Chrome, it shows me the XML. In normal cases, you don't really have to worry about it, but here it tells me that the result 46. Is 46, which is what you expect. So that's cool, but since we have a URL, we can really use that into a Xamarin application, which is kind of the point, right?
Yeah.
And so here, if I go into my exam calculator, now this is a Xamarin Forms application, and here I have two entries, num1, num2. I have an add button and I have a label for the result, okay? And if I go to my code, here I have the URL that we saw before. So this is a famous URL, which is pretty ugly, but it's going to be hidden. The user never sees that. I have an HTTP client, which is what we used to call. And then after that, I have my button. I'm going to parse the num1 and the num2, okay? And eventually, I'm going to replace num1 with the first operand, num2 with the second operand. I'm going to call my client getStringAsync. I get a string back because this is all HTTP based. And then I'm going to set that on the result. And so if we go into the Xamarin, so in that case, I'm running the Android version, but of course, this is Xamarin Form. So I also have an iPhone version for free. I have a UWP Windows version for free as well. And I can go and change 1, 2, I'm going to change 3, 4. And if I add, after a short wait, we should see again 46.
Nice.
So that was. Yeah. So super simple demo here.
Like the 051.
It's really.
We're not even at 101 yet, we're at the 051 of Azure functions. But this makes sense to me because At this point, it seems like there was clear inputs and outputs. And
those
inputs happen to be numbers.
Correct.
But they could be an image. I could be processing the image, like you said.
Could
you could be
anything.
Doing a plethora of things,
yeah.
Which is really cool. So real simplistic, but this is... Sometimes I like to go back to the basics, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you see these demos, you're like, I'm going to do this, and there's 8,000, yeah. Like, but how does it work,
yeah.
Right?
So and really nice. The point of these demos, this is a demo, by the way, which is going to be published on GitHub with a whole article, and we are going to do a little bit of promotion on that, because we know that we have, in Xamarin, we have a lot of people who come from iOS, who come from Android, and they don't even know how to do an HTTP client call, and so here, now they know how to do that, right?
Cool.
So really back to the basics. But I think the more interesting demo is another one which is a little bit bigger, and this is what I call my coin value demo. And so this coin value has two functions here. So the first function is called the saver, and as you see, it's a little bit different. So here I'm in Visual Studio.
Yeah,
I went.
What's happening here?
Exactly. So here what I did, I went into File, New Project, and with File, New Project, I did select on the cloud, right? So I installed the cloud workload. And inside the cloud, I selected a function application directly in Visual Studio. So I didn't go into the portal at all at this point. I just did everything into Visual Studio. And then inside here, you have the Azure function template, right?
Okay.
And then after that, I went ahead and I said, OK, now I want to create an actual function. So you do add new item, right? And under add new item, you will get, if I search here for function, here we go. We have Azure function. I can give it a name. I can say add. And then it's going to give me a choice of the various triggers that you have.
So these are the things that we were talking about. We talked a little bit about the timer, the block.
Correct.
There's a lot of them here.
There are quite a lot of them. And some of them can be also chosen with different languages.
Oh, cool.
So yes, that's pretty good. So here we had the HTTP triggers. That's what we did before. The first one that I'm showing here in Visual Studio is actually a timer trigger. And so we have this kind of weird expression here. This is called a cron expression. And literally, it's going to say, OK, every hour, every minute, or maybe every hour when the minute is 5, for example,
got
so it's
it.
1:05, 2:05, 3:05,
yeah.
Then the function is going to run. Okay,
got
so
it.
You can specify the schedule here, and all of that is going to translate into some attribute. So here I have this timer trigger, okay, which is going to run. The first 0 is every time the second is 0, every time the minute is 0, every 1 hour. So every 1 hour on top of the hour, every day, every month, every year. And then I'm going to do some things here. So what am I doing here? Well, first of all, I'm going to connect to an Azure Table storage account. And Azure Tables are a way to store some data in Azure in a very, very easy location. So we do have Cosmos DB. Cosmos DB is like, you know, on steroids, right? It's very solid. You have replication. You have a lot of things. I know
got
you
it.
Talked about that. And here we have Azure Tables, which is like the super lightweight solution. So it's great for certain use cases when you want to have some tables, but you don't want to have a lot of infrastructure,
got
right?
It. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so here I am inside the Azure Storage Explorer. It's a very convenient tool that allows me to log to my subscription, see all my tables. And I do have a table down there somewhere called coins. And as you see, I have a lot of values already inside there. And really what I'm storing here is every hour, my function is going to go and get the value of Bitcoin and Ethereum, those cryptocurrency,
yep.
From a website, from a web service, right? And then storing that into the table. And then I will have another function which is allowing me to get some analytics on those values.
Got it. So what you're saying then is, when I think about my current value, like normally then I would have my app, it would make a RESTful service call, it would get the current, you know, method.
Correct.
But in that instance, if I have a million people doing that, I'm making a million web requests on that API token. So basically you're just saying like, hey, I'll make the web request to the server.
Correct.
I'll cache the coins.
Yeah. So like this, I'm not overloading their service. It's a third-party service. It's free. Thank you, guys, right? So like this, I'm doing things. Also, it allows me to have a number of values, and so I can do some analytics on that. Like here in that case, I'm going to calculate the trend, right?
Oh,
is
cool.
Bitcoin going up,
or
flat,
down.
Or down? And that's going to be interesting. So in order to save that, basically what the function is doing, it's going to connect to, and again, this is a published sample, so you can go on GitHub and get it, right? So I'm going to connect to my table, the table I just showed you. If it doesn't exist, I'm going to create it, so that's very convenient. If you know, I want to delete it for some reason, it's just going to be recreated automatically. And then I'm going to connect to this here CoinMarketCap, but basically it's a free service which returns me some JSON with all the value of all cryptocurrencies, basically.
Cool, nice.
Yeah. And so I'm going to do some parsing. I'm not going into the parsing because parsing is always annoying, but I'm going to parse for Ethereum and for Bitcoin.
Got it.
And eventually I'm going to create some entities down there. And so I create one entity for Bitcoin. Entity is just something that you can store in an Azure table. Azure tables are very versatile. They take pretty much any object, and then they are going to automatically create the columns.
Got it.
And I'm going to save the value of Bitcoin. I'm going to save, do exactly the same thing for the value of Ethereum. In addition, I'm actually in this sample, it's kind of a beefy sample, it's a little bit bigger. I'm also going to send some push notifications to devices.
Cool.
So if you do have the application, the Xamarin application running on your device, you also get every hour a notification saying, hey, the price of Bitcoin is so much, the price of Ethereum is so much.
So this way, when you're actually processing the current value, if the user subscribe to push notifications, it magically happens.
I'm also going to send that, and like this, it's quite convenient.
This way you don't have to run like another service to do it. You're just doing it right
here. I'm just doing it right here, and this is running into Azure. And by the way, the notification here is sent through the Visual Studio App Center.
Oh, cool.
Great way to send notifications. Yeah. I don't want to go deep into that because it's kind of another topic for
itself. We'll do another Xamarin show.
Exactly.
I totally set it up, and I was like, the API is beautiful.
Yeah, it's really lovely. Yeah, so basically, I'm just going to send the notification.
Okay.
So this is going to run every hour. And the cool thing is that you can actually debug that directly in Visual Studio.
Ah.
So before I showed you, the function was running into the Azure Web Portal, which makes testing and debugging a little bit tricky, right? I mean, you can do logs and all that. But here I can literally put a breakpoint here, and I can make sure that this function application is selected as start a project, and then you can run it.
Just like any other console application, web
any
app,
other
anything.
Application. And the nice thing here is that what starts here is actually the runtime. It is the Azure function runtime. It's not an emulation. It is the actual runtime, that the same runtime that is running on Azure is going to run here. So you'll have a console here. And after a short wait, it's going to start, it's going to jump into the debugger, and you're going to be able, well, in that case, it's not set up properly. my machine broke, you know that, so it's another machine, but you can do that. It will jump in the breakpoint, and you can step through it and do everything.
Super
you can even test also the HTTP trigger function. So when you start the runtime, it's going to give you a URL, a localhost URL. Connect to that, test it. It's really beautiful.
Beautiful.
So this is the first function. The other function was the HTTP trigger.
So this function, this LB coin value, it's a collection of functions, or are there functions in functions?
So you have function application. So a functions application is an application with multiple functions. So you can build a whole API. It doesn't have to be like that. It's just more like a logical grouping. But the good thing is that when you publish, basically you publish the application, it's going to automatically publish all the functions in one go. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So here in that case, I have two functions, one application with two functions.
Okay.
And so the other function is here, and this time it's going to be an HTTP trigger, okay? And here again, I have the root. So here I'm going to say get, and I'm going.
This is nice. This is like all inline. There's no other file.
Everything is inline. Everything is configured through attribute.
That's beautiful.
So I'm going to say the symbol is going to be, and then again, before we had num1, num2, here I have symbol, so I can get BTC or ETH, for Ethereum. And then same thing, I'm going to connect to my tables. So this is pretty much a similar code. I'm going to do a query on those tables, okay? I'm going to calculate a little bit of analytics here. So basically, I'm just calculating the regression. So is it going up, flat, or down over the 10 past hours? And then eventually, I'm returning that. And you see here, the big difference with before is that I'm returning that as application.json.
Application/json.
And so the function is going to automatically serialize my object, which is called it's a coin trend, basically. It's going to serialize that to JSON, and that's going to automatically run here.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and so after
a little bit more complex than
The big advantage of of having JSON is that you can easily add some properties if you want to have, I don't know, the time on the server or whatever, the weather. So after that, we have here an Android, there is an iOS, and there is a UWP Windows application. Now, those are not Xamarin Forms. Those are full-blown Xamarin so-called classic, right? So you can do the whole design into Visual Studio directly if you want, storyboard design for iOS, etc. And this is actually an MVVM-lite application, so it's a full-blown MVVM structured. So somewhere here, I have my model, I have my service. And as you see, same thing as before, I have a URL.
Yep.
Okay, somewhere in this URL, I have the symbol that I need to replace. Okay. And then I'm going to use an HTTP client to do the call, and then I'm going to deserialize the JSON using JSON.NET.
Got it.
And that's really that easy. I mean, literally 4 lines of code to call the service.
And done.
Right?
Yeah, that way your app is not calling, parsing. In fact, it probably makes your app faster because it doesn't have to do any of the trend, any math. If you were to, to query a database, it's all done on these servers, which are going to be way faster.
Yeah.
Than your mobile device.
Yeah, and we could optimize that even more. I mean, the trend is obviously not going to change because since I save every hour, we could say, okay, if the trend was not calculated yet, I could save the value and you know, discard it only after an hour, etc.
And then so, you could also update the logic in that. I think that's what's cool, right? If you want to do Bitcoin or you want to save every 30 minutes, you don't have to change your app, right?
No.
It just works.
Totally,
that's cool.
And so here, this is the client. So as you see, we have an arrow. We have the value of Bitcoin, value of Ethereum. I'm going to connect. And again, the same sample runs into iOS and into UWP as well. And since I'm also getting the, I'm also sending notifications. So here we have the a little bit slower because of the start. But basically now the function is running. So we see the value is going down slightly, but it's so high that it's not surprising.
But right? They've made two different web requests. You asked for Bitcoin first and then Ethereum.
In that
you
case,
could ask
I
for
did.
Dogecoin, for instance.
I could very easily. Yeah.
It's my favorite coin to collect, Dogecoin.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. Don't take financial advice.
No.
I have no coins, zero coins.
Yeah, I think the best advice is only invest what you can afford to lose because we never know, right? But no, literally, I mean, you can configure that very easily. In that case, I do two requests. I could do only one request having a bigger JSON payload. It doesn't matter. You can configure that as you want. Okay. And really, the key of the issue here is that I don't have to worry about having a web API service. I don't have to worry about, oh my God, it's going to upgrade the the operating system or to upgrade ASP.NET version, whatever. In that case, I'm running this on ASP.NET with .NET 4.6.1, but I could also choose to do it in .NET Core, and I could choose a Linux server if I prefer.
Got it.
And you can really configure that as you want.
That's
so
cool.
In my opinion, it's a great way to build APIs, especially for mobile applications, because it makes it so easy to call them over REST, which is really what you want these days, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then once you have these values, you could store it however you want to on the mobile. That's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the transition there. I like this is the getting up and running. This is the real world example of how you would use it.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that you can just do it all in Visual Studio or VS
totally.
For Mac because you can just debug locally and see it
before
it goes up there.
The fact that you can in Visual Studio for Mac or in Visual Studio for Windows, the fact that you can set up unit tests that you can debug just like you would any other. And by the way, in this application, there are also some unit tests. So if you go and get the value from GitHub, and I guess we'll publish the link into the show notes. So down here, I also have a unit test. So I'm doing some unit tests on my view model.
Oh, cool.
Just the way that you would do a normal thing. You can also configure some dummy services if you want to do some some design time or if you want to do some test time debugging. And if you want to have the whole shebang, then you just connect to the real service and you're good to go. Yeah.
I like that because now it makes kind of my view model a little bit less, it makes it a little bit dumb. It's like, hey, I'm just going to call something.
Sure.
Then I usually have these services, but now the service is super thin.
Yeah.
So the thinner, the faster really makes those responsive apps.
Totally.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Laurent, this has been awesome. I love it.
All right.
I love, I saw this demo and now I with push notifications. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely.
About some
pleasure.
Azure functions. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have you back on again in the future
to
see what's going on with MVVM Lite. I'm
excited. Yeah, absolutely. Always happy to talk about that. Yeah.
So thanks for coming on. Thanks for tuning in to yet another episode of The Xamarin Show. Don't forget to subscribe. That button's up over there, down over there, ding that bell. You know what to do. Subscribe so you get the latest notifications of The Xamarin Show right in your inbox and in your notification feed. So until next time, I'm James Montemagno, and thanks for watching.